Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Amy Bremer, Wealth Services Advisor and Certified Financial Planner here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. Today, I'm joined by Jody Leonhart. She is an insurance broker with the American Advantage Insurance Agency on Silvernail in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. Today, we're going to be talking about property and casualty insurance. Jody, welcome to the show.
Hi, Amy. Glad to be here.
Great. So in my practice as a certified financial planner, I talk with a lot of people and property and casualty insurance comes up. And a lot of people just know they have a guy or a gal and they have coverage, but they don't really know what their coverage is and what it does and if they're properly covered. So I'm really, really glad you're here today so we can go through these topics. You're the resident expert. I just have a bunch of questions.
Sure.
So let's just jump right in.
Great.
So first, can you tell me a little bit more about what is an agent and what's a broker? Why are they different and why would someone want one or the other?
Well, typically an agent works for what we call a captured agency. They can only sell for that carrier and its products.
Okay.
So you're kind of stuck in a way, whereas I'm an independent agent broker and I work with 44 different carriers and I technically work for the client, whereas an agent works for the company. So my job is to look at all of our carriers to see who's going to be the best fit for you, because not every carrier is good for every season of life that you're in.
Okay.
And some love people with young drivers, some love seniors, some like people with just in the middle that don't have either.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we come in, because we'll switch you around to where it's going to be the best fit for you.
Nice. So just to clarify, agent would be somebody that works for like American Family or Allstate or
Correct. Where
you represent the insured, and then you could 44 different people, you can say this is best for
right. This
family. This was better for that family.
Right. And
oh,
we
cool.
deal with all A-plus rated carriers.
Okay.
So that you don't ever have to worry that you're with a subpar company.
Oh, great.
At any time. And sometimes people go shop on the internet and they might not know that, you know, the carrier is having financial trouble and they're only rated C-plus or B-minus.
No.
And in the event of a claim, they may not be able to pay 100% of their claim.
Oh, wow. So that was a question that I didn't think to ask you, but now you brought it up. What are these ratings and what does the rating measure?
The ratings measure their financial stability.
Okay.
In the event of catastrophic claims like we've had in our area with wind and hail, and you get companies that have a lot of households in southeastern Wisconsin, and they can be very, very saturated there, you still want to make sure that they're able to pay their claims if they have a lot of claims in that area. And the insurance industry goes out there and they conduct risks and evaluate their portfolio to make sure that they're financially stable and in the event of losses can pay claims. And our industry is very well protected. Our insurance commissioner does a very good job. And in fact, he shut down one company and just said you're done.
Wow.
You either get your books in order or you're not doing this anymore.
In the state of Wisconsin.
In the state of Wisconsin.
Wow.
So they take their job very,
very seriously. Awesome.
To protect the clients.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. Thanks. My next question, now we're gonna get into specific things that we insure. So earlier you mentioned drivers. Let's talk about auto insurance. I know Wisconsin has a minimum amount of coverage. What's the minimum amount of coverage? And what is it covering? Because I know there's 100,000, 500, I don't even know what it is. So I'll let you talk.
Our state minimum in the state of Wisconsin is 25, 50, 10. That just means if you're in an accident and it's your fault, 25,000 per person, up to 50,000 per accident will be paid, and up to $10,000 in property damage.
Okay.
That is the minimum required for our state. That being said, if you get people that come into our state from outside of this state, their limits, California's was 10, 15, 10 at one time. You just want to always make sure you're properly covered and not just doing injury to other people, But once you go at those number limits under your policy, those numbers are also be for uninsured and underinsured motorists. Mm-hmm. So if you have a 25-50-10 policy, you probably have 25-50 for uninsured and then 5,100 for underinsured. Those numbers protect you for bodily injury on your policy.
Gotcha.
In case the other person is, like this example represents, if they're underinsured or if they don't have any insurance at all and you're injured, you want to make sure that your injuries are taken care of. And the last thing you want to worry about is medical bills for something that wasn't your fault.
Right. So if that's the state minimum, in your experience, because you probably process lots of claims in your agency life, is that sufficient?
It is not.
Okay.
And unfortunately, when people go out on websites and get insurance, right now people, they can tell you, pick your rate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, the way they pick your rate is they give you the coverage for the dollar amount that you want to spend.
Oh.
And unfortunately, we've had so many people that have had insurance or went to an agent that he goes, yeah, I really only want to pay, I don't want to pay more than $250 a month with me and my two kids or something. So they gave him things like this and then come to find out, well, you own your own home, you own your own business, and now you've got this. And unfortunately, I've had to tell people, this is not acceptable for the assets you own.
Mm-hmm.
And your job is to help them acquire and, you know, amass assets. Mm-hmm. My job is to protect them.
Yeah.
And we've had to tell people that is just not acceptable. Mm-hmm. Right now, you've put all those assets, that's what you're covering them with.
Just putting them at risk. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're all at risk.
What is the best practice for auto insurance? What would you recommend for, not saying like Cadillac coverage, but good coverage that's going to cover an average person?
Years ago, with people owning their own home or having any type of assets, the common practice was $100,000 per person, $300,000 per accident. That's substantially changed in the last 20 years.
Okay.
Because nowadays, every other commercial on TV is a law firm telling you, if you get in an accident,
one call, that's all. Yeah.
We can make you money. And unfortunately, people are very litigious.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing we can do then is, that's great if you have a home. That's where I'd start at coverage for them.
Okay.
But I did just have a company call me and tell me your client was in an accident. You know, granted, he was turning on the yellow and the light was turning red. Nobody else was there to say he had to get out of the way. That guy's light was red because he was turning. He therefore impeded the other car's lane of traffic that was going straight ahead. Had he had a witness that said, nope, it was red, he had to get out, it may have been another story.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was him against him, he turned in front of the other right-of-way vehicle. And that driver had to have two surgeries on his left wrist that got broken in it. The company called and said he's having his second surgery.
Mm-hmm.
We've already paid out the $100,000. He is on the hook. He's going to be paying for the rest of this in cash.
Dang.
And that's where it always is a benefit to talk to your agent and just say, hey, you know, I've talked to my financial advisor. They recommended we get together and review things.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, when they see you call, they don't want to have that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really good to have that discussion, especially as things are changing nowadays. So 100, 300, if you own a house, is a great place to start.
Okay.
In all honesty, if you have any other assets, I would recommend even higher.
Okay. That's a good segue. How often should someone be reevaluating their insurance protection?
I like to do at least every other year.
Okay.
Just because situations change. If you have a child move out of the home, if you've had any additions or updates to your home, if you've acquired new things, a lot of people they forget about it, or they'll even go get a new car and the dealership says, we'll contact your insurance agent. That doesn't always happen.
Mm.
So insurance agents should be a resource, not someone that you're afraid to call, or that when you see the number on the phone, you kind of cringe and you don't want to talk to them.
Yeah,
they're your resource to protect everything that you've accumulated and all the good work you've done with your assets throughout your life. My job is to protect it so that when you call me and there is an issue, I can say, I got your back. Don't worry about it.
That's awesome. Thank you. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back on Money Sense.
Ellen Becker Investment Group is officially launching our brand new program, The Wealth Seed. This program is designed to give you high-quality financial guidance tailored to your stage of saving, no matter your experience level. As part of this program, you'll get a growing library of short, easy-to-understand financial podcasts, monthly educational emails, interactive workshops, and curated tools like book and media recommendations. Plant your wealth seed today and start growing with us at ellenbecker.com/thewealthseed.
Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Amy Bremer with Ellen Becker Investment Group. We're here with Jody Leonhart talking about property and casualty insurance. The next topic I want to segue to is homeowners insurance. So what is homeowners insurance and why do I want it?
Homeowners insurance, basically any type of insurance, is you're sharing the risk. Mm-hmm. So whether you have, you know, one house and a couple of cars, anything, if you have a loss, that loss is spread over a lot of people, so therefore we all pay just a little bit of the loss. Mm-hmm. That's the very definition of insurance. Granted, I'll get people going, I've had insurance for 30 years. I've never had a loss. Why is my rate going up? The definition of insurance is that we all put a little in, and if we have a loss, we get to take out money to pay the losses. So especially with all the storm losses in our area, we've all paid a little bit in, but there's been a lot of that taken out. And then you get clients going, but I didn't have a loss. Why is my rate going up? Well, you didn't have a loss, but we all put a little in, and now we've taken out more than they expected. So there, that's why your rates are going up, because we got to refill that pool of money in case we have the same amount of losses next year that we had this year. So again, the do you want to pay for it in full, or do you want the insurance company to pay for it in full?
That makes sense. That's good. I have a few questions on that. And a client said to me last year, my home is paid in full. I no longer have a mortgage that requires me to have homeowners insurance. Do I still need homeowners insurance?
And my answer to that is, if you have a loss, do you want to pay for it, or would you prefer the insurance company pay for it? For your insurance premium a year, whether it be $1,000, $2,000, or $3,000 a year, if you have a fire, do you want to pay it in full, or do you want us to pay for it? Mm-hmm. Now, that's the easy part of the question. The other one is, well, if you have a liability claim, someone comes on your property, trips, falls, do you want to pay for that lawsuit and the attorney's wages, or do you want the insurance company to represent you and fight on your behalf? Mm-hmm. It's a very different question. And the job is, we're here to protect your assets. So I would never go without that unless you can afford to give that away and everything else away. You always want the insurance company to cover you.
Okay. That's a great answer. Thanks, Jody. Thanks. So the next thing that I learned about when we went through our coverage with you for the Bremer family was, what's the difference between your coverage, current value, and replacement value? Well, and which one do we want?
Well, it's a really good question. We'll get people calling with questions like that all the time. The assessed value of my home is only this much. Why am I being insured at this much? Or on the flip side, yeah, the house is on a lake. Their property's at 1.5. Why are you only insuring my house at 550? Mm-hmm. It's because you still have your land. In the event of a fire or tornado, you still have your land. So a lot of it might be location. Mm-hmm. You still have your land, but we want to rebuild your house and put you back whole. And that's the difference between replacement value and what you're assessed at. Now, there's also something at actual cash value, mm-hmm. which is how some claims are handled until they're replaced. So actual cash value, for example, if you have a loss, the actual cash value on your roof may be $15,000. You have replacement cost coverage. So we give you the check for actual cash value. Once the roof and the repairs have been completed, we cut you another check up to the replacement cost for it. And they do that for a lot of losses, because sometimes people go, it was just a lot of excess clutter in the basement, you know, and then you give them the actual cash value. Well, do they really want it replaced, or were they good with that? Mm-hmm. Some people just go, I don't really need to replace it. I'm fine with it. other people, once they do replace all of that, then they will turn around and they'll get a supplemental check up to the replacement cost for their home and property.
Nice.
So.
Thanks. So you mentioned roofs. We got our roof redone and that actually lowered our premium. Can you tell us why?
Well, a new roof, especially in where we're at right now with roofs, a new roof has, it's thicker. It will just do its job better, which is designed to protect you from the weather. Mm-hmm. As roofs age, they lose a lot of granulation. And roofs by design, especially the 3D architectural roofs, are built to withstand roughly golf ball size hail. Now, that being said, can they withstand golf ball size hail multiple times for several years in a row? Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. But when you have a new roof, they're going to withhold and upstand all of the weather much mm-hmm. better for a while. And then as your roofs get older, companies will switch over from replacement cost on that roof to the actual cash value of the life left in that roof, which is really where you want to see that being in order to keep premiums lower. Mm-hmm. 5 and 6 years ago, it wasn't that. Most of our companies were all at replacement cost, whether your roof was 20 years old or 2 years old. That being said, our industry can't withstand buying people that have 20-year-old roofs, brand new roofs.
Well, and is that even fair? Because they were almost towards the end of their useful yes. life anyway. You know, yeah we had that big storm last summer with lots of hail damage in that area. But is that really fair that, you know, I have a 20-year-old roof and I get a brand new one for an insurance claim?
Some people think so because they've been paying for insurance claims for 30 years. They've mm-hmm. never had a claim. They kind of look at it like that's the way of getting their money back. Mm. And I've actually had a client tell me, I said, your roof's 26 years old. When are you getting a new roof? And she said, I'm not. I'm waiting for another hailstorm. Well, that was before the industry changed. Now the industry's changed and it's looking at these roofs. Mm-hmm. And sorry, we're not going to buy you a brand new roof when your roof is that old.
Yeah.
And the carriers have all changed. And what it's done is it's leveled premiums out and gave the homeowner a little more skin in the game. You know, I've had clients that, well, your roof got paid for last year. When are they doing the job? And the one client said, well, I'm not. It's not leaking. I said, now you have unrepaired damage that we've paid you on. Mm-hmm. Company, chances are the company's going to non-renew you.
Isn't that
you,
fraud?
It's not fraud because he did have true damage.
Okay.
But some people just go, well, it's not leaking. The question is, yet if you've got true hail damage, it's a matter of time before water finds a way, and the company doesn't want to pay for now another claim on water damage because of the unrepaired roof damage
that they already paid for.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that being said, the companies have been very good because it's been such a long wait time mm-hmm. with all the roof claims that we're like, they've got a contract, they're in line, they just can't get it done. And the companies have been really lenient about allowing that wait time and extending it. But the industry's really had to make some major changes to accommodate that. And for the most part, most of our customers have been really good and really glad because they're like, yes, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. I don't want you to pay for my new roof.
Right.
It's 20 years old. I was going to buy one anyhow. Mm-hmm. And it's been a real good, I think, education for the public because people have called and asked questions that they haven't in a very long time. And it has required the agents to educate their customers, which some of them may not. In my job, that's a thing I take very, very seriously, is to educate my clients about their policy, what they're actually being covered for, where the gaps in it may be, mm-hmm. how can I fill them, mm-hmm. those types of things.
Yeah. What should I, as an insured, make sure I tell you, or what are you looking for when quoting?
Well, new roofs, mm-hmm. new furnace, those types of things. Most of the houses have sewer and sump pumps in there. If you have a backup battery or a whole house generator, mm-hmm. a lot of times a lot of carriers will give discounts for that. If you have a security system, a lot of our companies have even said, hey, we'll give you a little bit for even the Ring cameras, which are preventative. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not great like a central alarm system might be, but they are preventative. Mm-hmm. And some of them will give a small discount for that. The other part of that is we can't insure what we don't know about. So if you've finished your basement or added a sunroom and failed to tell us, and we don't know about it, How can you expect your insurance to keep up with the changes you've made in your home? Or if you've bought certain things or collectibles, mm-hmm. or Christmas came around and you got your wife an anniversary ring, mm-hmm. or you inherited something. Mm-hmm. If we don't know about it, we can't insure it properly. And in the event of a loss, you're not going to be real happy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to say, when did you get this?
Right.
And it's nothing that the insurance company wants to get out of paying or anything mm-hmm. like that. We just need to know about these things so we can properly cover you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you bring that up with wedding sets and anniversary rings. Matt and I have been married 10 years. When we got our 10th year anniversary, I got a little upgrade, and that was kind of fun. But there's a rider on our home insurance policy with you that insures my wedding set. So,
yep. And roughly, you want to update those appraisals every 5 years.
5 years. Okay, that's good feedback.
We have found out gold has gone up significantly over the last 5 to 10 years. And for people that have things like wedding rings mm-hmm. and they just keep rewriting the policy from rolling it down the road and using the same appraisal, we had one client that they lost their wedding ring. And she said, and it was only 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, it was $5,000 more to replace that.
Because of the cost of gold?
Because gold has gone up that much. And it's like we have been really good. And American Advantage is very good about sending out a monthly newsletter every mm-hmm. month telling people, hey, pay attention to this. We sent one out saying, hey, if you've got scheduled jewelry, mm-hmm. make sure you're updating the appraisals. Now, that being said, scheduled jewelry as opposed to just having jewelry, like your jewelry has its own line mm-hmm. on the policy.
It does.
So that it broadens the perils mm-hmm. and opens it up for more coverage. Whereas if it's not, all the other little smaller items in your house, if you have a tornado, fire, yes, you're all covered. But when you have a cherished item like mom's wedding ring that you inherited or yours, you really want to make sure it's scheduled so that it opens it up for more perils.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, my grandmother's wedding ring was stolen from the nursing home when she was in there.
Oh my goodness.
We had it scheduled.
Yeah.
We had, you know, the appraisal, which showed cut, color, clarity, carat, mm-hmm. and a picture. The jeweler was able to sit down and custom remake that with my mother. But you cannot tell it's not the same one from 1932.
Oh, my goodness.
It's gorgeous.
That would be beautiful to see that Art Deco.
Yeah.
Oh, gorgeous. You have to send me a picture of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was hard to find. And stolen is maybe a harsh word. She did have it and then she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But things happen and I don't want to ever give a nursing home a bad rap
fair.
Or anything.
That's fair.
I just, where she always kept it and was real meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
So, but things do happen where they can just get lost. So mm-hmm. I don't ever want to have anyone, you know, take that to heart. So
that's fair. Elaborating more on homeowners insurance, Jody, what other things do folks have that you see on policies? And it mentioned to me some things that families have. What about like a jungle gym or like a something
jungle
like that?
Gyms, trampolines are a big thing nowadays. Pools, making sure that they're gated, locked, things like that.
What's the difference between an above ground and in ground pool? Is it different for insuring?
Both of them have to have a locking gate.
Okay.
So that if you have a deck to an above ground, mm-hmm. that a small child can't get up there and just jump in the pool without anybody knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
In-ground pools all have to have at least a 4 foot high gate, locked gate that an adult has to open for them.
Okay.
Just to prevent tragedy.
And is that an industry standard or is that a Wisconsin law?
Industry wide, all pools have to have a fenced or locking gate or a removable ladder if it's above ground so that a small child can't get into there and have a tragedy happen. So that's some of the big ones. And things over the years that have changed when it's like what, you know, we all go out and, you know, inspect these houses, mm-hmm. whether we do it online or do it in person. For example, my one client had a huge skateboard ramp in his backyard.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, you know what? That's great. I'm sure their son didn't just use it.
Right.
I'm sure he had friends
using
it.
Always buddies from the neighborhood. Yeah.
So, yeah. And this thing was 5 and 6 feet high on the ends and the kids were doing flips. And
oh, my goodness.
No. Simply because, do you have a hold harmless waiver if one of these kids gets an arm broken or a collarbone broken? That was a sorry. We're getting off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have that mm-hmm. on our policy. And those are things that some people just do and they don't tell their agent,
right.
which is why we like to do those reviews. Mm-hmm. Because if you have something that, you know, could cause a liability issue, we really want to know about that. Mm-hmm. Or the treehouse that's 15 feet in the air.
Oh, my word.
And we've had them, you know, and or the one client that had a hobby farm, and I drove by it and I'm like, is that a goat on your roof? Yeah. Yeah.
It like was the ones in Door County? They had the goats grazing on the roof?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So there's just things that it gets funny. Mm-hmm. Some of it's fun. Some of it's funny. Some of it's real serious, just to make sure that liability wise, we're not on something that we shouldn't be.
Right. What about fire pits? It's you know, getting warmer outside here in Wisconsin, you know, grilling and s'mores. Do we need to let you know about fire pits?
Fire pits, we do not need to know about. Now, what will happen is when I inspect a property and I do a walk around and I see a 4 or 5 foot fire pit, and then it's sitting there with the Christmas tree on it and this and that. And I've had those, you know, is it in the middle of nowhere and those flames aren't going to do anything? Or is it like, for example, our house is right next to the bug line trail. We used to do bonfires in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And then as I'm watching the smoke go up, I'm like, nope. So we do what everyone else in our neighborhood does and put the little mobile fire pit in our driveway. And we sit out front towards the road because all those embers can cause an issue.
Oh, I see. Right. At first, I didn't see where you were going. Now I see where, because that's how those fires started out west.
Yep.
With a little spare ember.
Yep.
And they thousands of acres, you know, just got burned in California. So,
yeah. And it people don't believe that it's just something small, but like the one down in Milwaukee, that it started by a cigarette butt.
Yeah, I did see that on the news.
It just, those things happen. Mm-hmm. And granted, they don't happen as much as they might do out west, but we're very cautious about it, which is why we want to inspect and just, you know, if that would have been a client of mine, I would have said, hey, you really might want to reconsider moving your pit to the front yard or something, because now you got the whole bug line back here.
Right.
I would not want to be responsible for that. So we took it upon us to just say, no, we're going to do it out here where we can contain it more, just in case.
So that's you as the homeowner taking action to mitigate that risk versus just insuring it.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. And for the most part, we really, really like working with our clients that call and they go, hey, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Or we were sitting around talking insurance with all the neighbors this weekend. What are your thoughts on, should I have this? Mm-hmm. And the other thing is like ATVs, little mini bikes going in your yard.
Oh.
Who do you all allow to ride those? Mm-hmm. Do you have neighbors and friends coming over? Mm-hmm. Well, where's the liability come for that? And as long as the homeowners fully comprehend their risk, are they real adverse to risk, or they're like, nothing will happen?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Until it does. And like the example you gave with the skate park, you know, little Timmy is cool with it, but is Timmy's mom cool with it if he falls and breaks his arm?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And those things, they happen.
Yeah.
And not only that, trampolines tend to become lifted with all the winds we've had.
Yes.
And my sister had hers out in West Bend when they had those bad winds, and it picked hers up and threw it into her patio door, and her neighbors got picked up, and it ended up 5 houses down
and had
crashed into another property.
Oh, my
so
word.
So people don't think about that with trampolines either, and they don't stake them down that with the heavy winds, they can be lifted up and tossed.
Well, kind of like a sailboat. Like, it acts like a big sail almost.
Yep.
Wow.
It does. And we've seen a lot of claims over the years and things that people don't think of. It's kind of a funny joke book that if you had them, you know, you don't think that this can be a claim. And it's like, wow, I never would have thought of that.
Right.
Never would have thought of that.
Huh.
And it happens.
Let's take another quick break. Thank you for joining us with Money Sense. We'll be back shortly.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you're looking for a trusted partner or ready to elevate your financial plan, you're in the right place. With multiple Better Business Bureau Torch Awards for ethics and integrity, Ellen Becker combines expertise with a team member you can trust. Meet our advisors and explore financial resources at ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back to Money Sense. This is Amy Bremer, certified financial planner, sitting here with Jody Leonhard. We're talking about property and casualty insurance. Let's take a pivot. Umbrella insurance, lovingly known as a PLUP.
Personal lines umbrella protection.
Yeah.
Yep. It's an underlying protection to cover you over everything. And you want to make sure it's a true umbrella. Some companies will only cover an umbrella over their products. You want to make sure that your liability products cover you over everything, especially the senior that has a condo down in Florida. Is their liability umbrella a true umbrella? Will it cover the condo down in Florida? Will it cover their lakefront home up here? The ATVs, the boat, all of those things.
So let me interrupt you a little bit. So it's my understanding that umbrella is kind of like, like an umbrella. If you think about like someone holding an umbrella in a rainstorm, and maybe you have like your raincoat on, which covers your house and your car, but then sometimes the raincoat doesn't cover your hand. So if you're holding your umbrella, now your hand is dry. So the umbrella covers what the other policies don't. So it's kind of like a spillover or an extra thing.
It's an extra policy to over cover things.
Okay.
As we previously discussed, it's a litigious environment with every other commercial being a law firm if you get injured. Homes generally have a minimum of $300,000 or $500,000 of liability. Autos, that can be variable. In order to have a liability umbrella, you have to begin with at $250,000 per person, $500,000 per accident. Sometimes $500,000 if you want more than $1 million liability umbrella. But it protects you above and beyond your policy limits.
Okay.
So I always like to use my sister as an example because she has three kids. And it's so funny, but years ago, their babysitter was watching their kids and they were remodeling their basement. And, you know, she said to the babysitter, "We're remodeling the basement. There's stuff down there. We don't want you or the kids in it. Stay out of the basement." They had done like the protection tape.
Oh, like the caution tape or something.
Caution tape was there. Do not cross. Big X, this and that. 14-year-old with a, I think it was 10, 8, and 6-year-old that she was watching at the time. And they decided to play hide and seek and goof around. She went through there trying to hide, goofing around with the kids, and fell down the basement stairs and broke her ankle.
Oh, my word.
Her family tried to sue my sister's family because she didn't have a railing on the basement stairs because they were remodeling and they had materials going up and down and it was wide, so they had to take off to allow that extra space. At one point, they said, because it was on her growth plate, she's going to be permanently disabled.
Oh, no.
My brother-in-law calls me and says, "Okay, do I need an attorney?" And I said, "No, you have a liability umbrella. Let's let them take care of it." As soon as they heard the word disabled, the umbrella policy went out and hired a disability law firm to represent them and took care of it. Basically, the girl got her medical bills paid, and that was it. Nothing went into their umbrella. But as soon as the umbrella was put on notice, they're the ones that got the retainer for a law firm that specialized in it. And he's like, "You know what? That $200 to retain the law firm, they wanted $1,000 down."
Oh, and retain.
He said, so the liability umbrella was $250 a year. He said, "Money well spent."
Wow.
And was so grateful. And to this day, you know, he goes, "I'll never live without an umbrella again."
Right.
For that reason.
Wow.
Because it just better protects everything you've worked so hard to get.
And in that instance, because she clearly, like, didn't follow the instructions, there was clearly, it was marked, "Don't go here, you know, caution, construction zone." Did that weigh into that at all?
It might have had it gone to court. It didn't go that far. But then again, you're hiring a kid to watch other kids.
That's fair.
And that's where, with policies in general, when you have minors, it's always good to know what they're doing, who they're with, because what might be funny to a kid might be a liability to a parent.
That's fair.
And you don't, again, you don't know certain things until you know them or find out. You know, it's just, sometimes they're just real silly things. Or one of our neighbors' kids were throwing off fireworks. And, you know, people don't think about it, but They went in, one went into the garage. They couldn't find it. Didn't smell smoke. Didn't think anything of it. Middle of the night, we hear fire trucks coming, and their garage started on fire. Now, granted, it only got their garage, but that's where, you know, parents were outside letting kids play with fireworks, mm-hmm. and kids didn't know enough. Mm-hmm. They did say, we think we saw it go in here. We looked. We couldn't find it. Thank goodness you have smoke alarms for those types of things. But again, kids in general can be liabilities with different things because they don't think through all the consequences. Mm-hmm. And those types of things, was it covered? Of course it was covered. Mm-hmm. It was a fire. It could have been a tragedy.
Yeah,
it was
right.
a fire. You know, their son learned, all the other kids learned, mm-hmm. and those things just happen.
Yeah. So talking more about umbrella policies, what's a general rule of thumb of coverage for like the average person?
I don't ever ask any of my client what their assets are.
Okay.
But what I do tell them is talk to your financial advisor. I recommend an umbrella. Your financial advisor is going to tell you what they want to see as a minimum umbrella for you. Generally, if you have $4 or $5 million in assets or more, you should at least have a $5 million.
Oh, okay.
Most people have a $1 million, mm-hmm. and chances are they may never use it. It's for that off chance, especially in the litigious society we have, that they have it. Yeah. And again, things can happen that just aren't anybody's true fault. Mm-hmm. We had one in our agency where, you know, the client went out, customer coming around the curb, and, you know, a motorcyclist coming, and you don't see, didn't hear, sun's in your eyes, mm-hmm. pull out, something happens. The umbrella took care of that. No questions asked. But they're not always necessarily, were they negligent? Mm. It's just something happened, and, you know, can this also be settled based on the umbrella being out there so that they don't have to go in to the rest of their assets? Sometimes people will just settle sooner to get this taken care of, done and over with. And sometimes this will wage on for years. Will they necessarily get a lot more? Mm. Not necessarily. But an umbrella can make all the difference between let's just take care of this, get it done, mm-hmm. put it behind us, or can you fight this on my behalf? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've heard over the years that companies have said sometimes it's just less expensive to pay it than to fight mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. But when, as soon as your umbrella gets involved, they're fighting it for you.
Oh, really? Okay.
They are fighting it. Because, yeah, they don't want to go into your liability limits and extend that into the liability umbrella if they don't have to.
Okay.
So some things we get notified and they're put on notice right away. That and they're being used more. Our one agency or our one carrier told me a year ago, she said, last year at this time, we had one umbrella claim. She said, this year, we have 10 so far.
Oh, my gosh.
It's huge, and people just need to know that if you have assets, everything's at risk nowadays.
Yeah. So another question that just came to my mind, are there certain people that are more at risk for liability, like a certain profession or a certain hobby or anything like that, that you would be like, hey, this really makes you should have an umbrella because of fill in the blank?
No. Basically, there is nobody that's more risk than not. Mm-hmm. I had one 20 years ago that I never would have thought it would have ever got paid. Mm-hmm. You know, a client had a landscaper coming over to their house doing, you know, mowing their lawn. And he got scraped by a rose bush. And ended up, for whatever reason, it didn't get taken care uh-huh. of properly. Ended up getting it amputated below the elbow.
What?
And I'm like,
from a rose thorn?
Yep.
Probably
because he just like washed it, didn't soap and water it. As it got infected, he just probably, I don't know what he all did or didn't do. And I'm thinking, okay, this is workers' comp.
Yeah.
We're good. It was his own company. He, mm-hmm. you know, excluded himself from workers' comp, never did anything. I never thought in a million years that that would have got paid out under a liability umbrella. The jury awarded him $1 million because the homeowner did not properly anchor the rosebush to the trellis.
Oh, my word.
So sometimes silly claims can be paid. And that's just the way it is. So we have to protect against things we expect mm-hmm. and things that we think would never be paid.
Thorn.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, who would have thunk?
Exactly.
And now I have a huge rose garden at home too. They're not climbing roses. At least the ones on the side aren't. So the other ones have trellises on them. But yes. Yep. Oh my goodness, rose thorns. Who would have thunk?
I know.
Yeah.
So we can't look into a crystal ball and see who might be more risky or less risk.
Okay.
It just depends.
That's
and
fair.
We do the very best by asking. We ask a lot of questions. When I had you fill out a client info sheet.
Mm-hmm.
We go through a lot of questions because I can't ensure what I don't know about. And because I'm always looking for discounts.
Mm-hmm.
Some carriers give occupational ones, like in your occupation. Some give educational ones. If you're retired, you know, if you're an ART member, there's a lot of discounts out there that, you know, the more we know, I'm looking for discounts too. So the better we can better protect you.
That's
and
true.
The better I can protect you so that when you call me and you have a loss, I can say, got it.
Nice.
Got it.
Yeah, don't worry. Got you. So my last question is kind of like a smorgasbord catch-all. What other things can we insure? And I'm thinking like RV, motorcycle, what about those ATVs or those little golf carts? Like my auntie lives in the Villages and she's got a golf cart. Like, are those insurable? How does that work?
You can insure all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are little retirement communities that those are you're legally allowed to ride them on the roads. So you really need coverage on them, liability coverage on them. They might only go 20 or 25 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour, but you get hit by one of them, you're going to feel it.
Well, it's fast. 30 miles an hour is fast.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So you really want coverage on those. You don't want to just assume it's a golf cart. I don't need to cover a golf cart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do if you're riding it on public roads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, there's a lot of things we do. We also do business insurance, life insurance, disability insurance. We do supplements. For Medicare supplements, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different things that your insurance carrier can do.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things that I could do, and I just say, you know what? Medicare supplement requires so much. I'll give you the name of a specialist that I use.
There.
That this is all she does is healthcare and Medicare.
Yeah.
And things like that. And it's like, so I refer them out to her because she's awesome, and that's all she does. And any question you have for her, if I don't know the answer, I know where to get it.
Oh, that's good. So, any last parting words of wisdom?
I really love what you guys do here. And I love that you give all this information out. Because in this day and age, I mean, I've heard from clients that are in their 60s and have said, I never understood insurance till now. No one's ever taken the time to explain it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where part of my job is to educate people. And I love to be a resource. So if people have questions, they call me.
Perfect.
One of my clients called me and said, you know, can you give me the best directions to the body shop you rep? Sure. Sure. I talked her through on the phone how to get where she was going, this and that. And
just people helping people, doing good work for each other.
Well, that's what it's all about, is serving each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a servant. I love to serve other people.
That's a great way to leave it. Thank you kindly, Jody.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you joining us today. Thank you for joining us for Money Sense. We hope that today's conversation made a meaningful difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money. Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.